But when we talk about God and trusting him, God says, well, if you don't believe me, in what way have I disappointed you or let you down that you shouldn't trust me? Give me a reason not to believe me, says God. You haven't got any. I'm trustworthy. The just shall live by faith. And there's a very simple agreement. God said, you can enjoy the trees of the garden. Go on, enjoy life, but don't touch that. So what did man do? He went and examined it. Oh, well, this is most interesting. Let's have a look at the one thing we're not allowed to do. It's something perverse, isn't there, about the human nature? Even there, in that particular case, you think, well, why did they do that? Now, the point then comes, the question comes, what would have happened if they had not sinned? And here you realize that Adam and Eve were not in the covenant relationship that Christ is in or he brings to us. They were not in that covenant when they were created. In other words, they would have entered into it step by step if they had obeyed. I have no doubt that if they had obeyed, they would have gone step by step and ultimately been included in God's plan called the New Covenant. We'll come to that later on in this overview of the covenants. But the point is, when man was created, he was created not with all the things given to him. He had to choose the right things. And this is because man is not a robot. You are not a robot. And at no time does God say we are robots. The New Covenant doesn't make us robots. It doesn't make us sort of passive nothings. We have to engage our will and our mind and obey God's will by faith. It's a covenant of faith, but it requires obedience. And when we talk about obedience here, we're not talking about works of the law. We're talking about works of faith. And they disobeyed through unbelief. The second covenant we had here, and just to recap, that if they had obeyed, there would have been progress, and then step by step until God would have opened to them another covenant, which we'll consider as we move down. Let's go then to the second covenant with Adam and Eve in sin. And of course the things change. And what you realize now is God comes down to this couple in the garden and they have sinned. It's very wonderful to realize God's instincts. You don't sense an angry God in the garden when they've fallen. You don't sense God's anger. It's very interesting when people fail, people can get very cynical and critical. But God, when he comes to the couple in the garden, his reactions are, well, they can only be summed up as loving and redemptive. Even when he calls to them, where are you? This great call, it's a tremendous invitation. There's an agony in this call of God. Where are you? It's a longing. It's like the longing of a lioness that lost its cubs. It's the longing of a bird that's lost one of its chicks. God says, where are you? Now, he knows where they are, but he's got this sense that he wants to get their attention. And he gets their attention in the garden at last. They've been hiding from God. And now God comes and he has to change the covenant. He has to change the word, the framework in which they live. And this covenant, again, It's a simple statement of what will be, and you notice the covenant in the garden is quite simple. He speaks to the devil and he changes the devil. I notice that when you look at God's dealings with Satan, when you look at the history of Satan, he is being limited step by step by step by step. So, for example, when he fell, when he originally sinned, he fell. Here in the garden, he's tempted the human race. Now, God says, you're going to walk on your belly. You're going to be without arms, legs, wings, whatever it is. I'm limiting your power. Then at the cross, Jesus says, now is the prince of this world cast out. In Revelation, it says, the accuser of the brethren is cast down. And there his power is limited again. And then eventually he'll be, at the end of the age when Christ comes back, he will be put into the bottomless pit. And then he'll be released for a very short season. And then he'll be put into the lake of fire. So I think that's about five steps, but they're going downward. His power is being limited, clipped, decreased. His influence. Not as a process, but as actions of God. His power isn't decreasing slowly through this age. God limited his power through when he fell, then in the garden, and then at the cross, and then and so on, as we've already said. And there's the word of God. Satan is limited. God's word puts boundaries. Thank God that he puts boundaries. And you know that when we consider the human condition, we live within boundaries. And here's God's word, I put boundaries. The devil cannot kill you, for example. I thank God he can't kill people, because if he could, I think there'd be a huge massacre take place overnight. He hasn't got a body, not a human body, so he wants to use yours. That's the devil. And the Holy Spirit wants your body. Don't some people yield their bodies for evil? And they do the work of the devil. Don't yield anything to the devil, neither your money, your time, your imagination, your tongue. Don't give anything to him. He wants it. Don't give it to him. Satan said, bow down to me and I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world, for they are mine to give. It's given to me, he said. And you think, well, who gave it to you? Foolish men. Foolish men bow down and give him power. And then God pronounces a curse on the ground. He didn't curse Adam, he cursed the ground. He changed the created world. It produces thistles. And you sense now the world, the physical world, the dust is changing. The botanical world is changing. He changes man's body. He begins to sweat. Wow. Man didn't sweat till this time. Can you imagine living in Singapore and not sweating? You know, I have to take spare shirts with me when I walk to the MRT. You know, the thing is, then he changes the woman's body, and pain is given to her in childbirth, and of course pain is given to the human race. And you realize now God has put limits on the human condition, and we're cut off from the Garden of Eden. It says there the human race cannot go back to that garden. And we've got all these limits put around us in the spiritual world, the physical world, We have to work, we have to suffer, we have to sweat. And you think, oh no, what a world we live in. And we want these curses to be lifted, don't we?